This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program is a blessing to you and perhaps even challenges you. And again, if you'd like to contact me, I have a website, bdcministries.com. bdcministries.com. You can go there and you can re-listen to the program there. You can even download the program and pass it on as an attachment in emails to others. And you can contact me through that website as well. Leave me prayer requests or comments on the program. So if you'd like to contact me the old-fashioned way, that's address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website again is bdcministries.com. Now, last time we were looking at beginnings, and of course that only makes sense with regard to our starting a new year. But as we go into the new year, I want to follow that subject up with the subject of warnings. It seems to me that we're constantly under warnings today, right now. If you're listening to this in Iowa, and I'm sure most of you are, we are under a winter storm warning for this weekend. Now, we were under a warning, I think it was the last 2 days as well, and because the weather had been so nice, I'm not sure how many people heeded the warning, but I know as I was listening to a TV reporter this morning with regard to the storm, they said that this time around, as the warning goes out, please pay attention to it and don't drive unless you have to. So basically, this year being that our worst weathers in January and February, I've told those people that I usually spend time with in their assemblies, in their congregations, that I'm just simply not going to travel in January or in February. I didn't have to be warned because I have experience to know that January and February is often a tough month to travel in, and I just simply don't want to be caught in a car that has died or gone off the road in cold weather. Thankfully, the weather has not been that cold in the last storm, but in this storm it may get real cold. So we need to pay attention to what we're being told by the people who seem to be able to forecast weather for us. We know that they don't always get it right. Sometimes they forecast storms that don't happen. And that's the real problem, because when we come to spiritual things, we've been forecasting warnings for years, and the warnings don't always happen the way we expect them to happen. For example, one of the things that we have been told in the Bible is that the Lord's going to come again. Well, it's been 2,000 years since that promise was made, and he hasn't come again, and so there are people who don't worry about his coming again, and yet when he comes again, he's going to come not to die on a cross, but to judge the world for rejecting him, and ultimately to set up the righteous kingdom that he had the right to set up the first time. So often we hear these warnings, and we're kind of like the story of the fellow that kept crying, "Wolf, wolf," when there was no wolf, and people began to realize that he was just giving them false alarms. And so when the wolves came and he cried, "Wolf, wolf," they didn't respond. And I think we're a little like that with regard to the warnings in the scripture with regard to our relationship with God. Now, we're warned to worry about the weather. We're worried about, just this last week, there were tsunami warnings in Japan. I just listened to the TV set, and they were warning women to get their mammograms. And some people are being warned about the possibility of coming down with this new lung disease that is going around. And so we keep getting these warnings, but many people, for one reason or another, just ignore the warnings. And so far, they've survived in life, and so they shrug their shoulders and don't worry about the warnings. But there's some warnings in the Bible that we should worry about. For example, in Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And so when we look at that, it's really scary, because these people are people who thought they were doing the right thing, and yet they had never really listened to what God had said with regard to their relationship with him. They didn't understand that even one sin is sufficient to keep a person out of heaven, because heaven is a sinless place, and they needed to have their sins forgiven. And none of us can say that we've only sinned once. We don't meet our own standards oftentimes, let alone meeting the standards of God. And we look back over life, and there's many things that we know we did that we shouldn't have done, and people we've offended, and perhaps actions we've taken, and other people have been in some cases harmed by our actions. But even though we know that those things are there, the real problem we have is that we have not taken the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ seriously. We've just gone through a Christmas season where all of us have been worshiping, as we say if we're Christians, that we were worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're worshiping in the way that the world wants to worship. We're worshiping a birth. But the Lord says that we should worship by believing in him, and we should worship his death. We should worship when we accept the fact that his death, burial, and resurrection puts away our sin. So many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?" And it's interesting that over the years people have told me that when you see "Lord, Lord," you're seeing false profession, people who think they're Christians but are not. And that may be true, but what's interesting is, as I've studied out these situations in the Oriental writings where names are repeated, like Abraham, Abraham, or in the New Testament, Martha, Martha, or some of these names where the Lord has repeated the name, they'd say that it's an Oriental way of expressing endearment. And so these people think that they are in love with the Lord and endearing the Lord, but they're not doing what the Lord asked them to do. And what has the Lord asked them to do? He's asked them to believe on him. He's asked them to take him seriously and to believe that as sinners they need a Savior, and that's what he came to do, to die for their sins. And he says, "Then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you.'" He knows those who have faith in him. And we see that all through the scripture. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so we find out in Hebrews that without faith in Christ, it is impossible to please God. And so because they never established a foundation where they had a relationship with God based on what Christ had done for them at the cross, because they were earning their way to heaven and considered what they were doing to be sufficient to earn their way into heaven, God says, "I never knew you," because you can't earn your way to heaven. All you can do is trust the Lord to put away your sins and to take you to heaven based on the promises he has made in the Bible. If we were to go on in Matthew 7, it would say, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so, friend, I believe that we need to come to the scriptures and listen to what God has said and base our relationship with him on what he has said. It's a relationship that makes no sense in a natural way. In a natural way, we would assume that the best people go to heaven and the worst people go to what the Bible calls hell and ultimately the lake of fire. But God says it's the believer that goes to heaven, and even a thief on the cross can go to heaven in the 11th hour if he, as we see in Luke 23, because there's a thief who trusted the Lord at the very end of his life, and he was not a good man. So what is the will of the Father? Well, in Matthew 17 and verse 5, we read about the transfiguration of the Lord when he was on the mountain and he was talking to Elijah and Moses. And we read, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And so that's the admonition. Hear him. What has he said? Well, if we come back to John chapter 3 and verse 14, he's talking to Nicodemus, and I think by talking to Nicodemus, because John's gospel is really a gospel for the world, as he's talking to Nicodemus, he's also talking in principle to us. And it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now that's an Old Testament story that tells about people who are being bitten by a serpent and were dying from its bite. And the Lord told them to do something that made no sense, make a brazen serpent, lift it up on a pole, and everyone who looks at that serpent will live. And it worked. And then it says here that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let me read that to you once again. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And that's what we should hear. People who disregarded the warnings of God affected others, and they affected themselves. Eve, in Genesis chapter 3, disobeyed God, and it has had consequences for all of us. People in Noah's day had become rebellious, and they had become, as the Lord says, only evil continually. And so the Lord made a way of escape from the judgment that he was going to bring on the people in Noah's day, but only 8 were saved through that effort that Noah put forth in believing God and building an ark. There were people in Sodom and Gomorrah who were told that judgment was coming. Even Lot, who was Abraham's nephew, had his sons-in-law and his daughters not believe that judgment was coming. The angels had come and said, judgment is coming. They disregarded that warning and they died in the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so if we disregard what God is saying today, the end result will be the Lord will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And things that people thought were good works, God will say they're works of iniquity because they were taking the place of faith in the work of the Lord at the cross. We need to make sure that we're on a solid footing with the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We read in the book of the Acts as Paul and Silas talk to a Philippian jailer. And this is the crux of it. Have we believed in him, or are we still trying to get to heaven by what we think will work rather than by what God says will work? Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened as we give thanks in our Savior's name for thy mercy and for thy Son. We give thanks in his name. Amen.